You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For those looking to buy a new home or property, there will be less insurance options. State Farm and Allstate, two of the largest insurers in the country, have backed out of California, saying that they will no longer offer new policies due to climate change-fueled disasters and high building costs. Since 2017, the largest and deadliest wildfires to happen in state history have destroyed more than 50,000 homes, buildings, and other structures in California. And in that time, property owners in high wildfire risk areas have found it increasingly difficult and costly to find adequate insurance to protect their livelihoods. We're going to get a better understanding of how we got here and what this means for residents. Michael Wara is the Director of Climate and Energy Policy Program at Stanford University's Woods Institute for the Environment. Good morning. Thank you for making the time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Vicky.
So given that California is the most populous state in the country, like more than 40 million residents, one could think that this would be a big opportunity for homeowner insurance companies. So why are two of the largest insurers backing out of the state?
Well, I think but for that opportunity, these kinds of changes would have happened sooner rather than now. Of course, California is an enormously attractive place to write insurance because of the value of the real estate. In California. I mean, we all know how much real estate costs, and maybe some of us wish it cost less, but that's probably another show. The what's going on is that there's an interaction between changing risk of wildfire and that homes may burn during a wildfire, and limitations on the rate that insurers can charge for homeowners coverage. And the perception of risk really changed after 2017 and 2018. It sure did for me. I live in the wildland urban interface, and I'm much more aware of wildfire risk, as are my neighbors. Insurance rates can't adjust. They adjust more slowly, though, perhaps, than our risk perceptions or perhaps than a climate model would allow them or would suggest that they should adjust. Because the way homeowners insurance and all property and casualty insurance in California has worked since a ballot initiative passed in the 1980s called Prop 103 is that the rates are set by the average losses over the last two decades. So there's a backward-looking approach to setting the cost of insurance. So that means that today, you know, 2017 and 2018 are certainly a part of insurance rates in California, but so are all the years that preceded them where losses were much less. And it's pretty simple math. You add up the losses over 20 years and you're allowed to charge 5% of that, right? 1/20th of that is the premium that's allowed. And if one believes that wildfire is in the last 5 years is qualitatively different than wildfire, say, circa 2003 or 2005, then that price is too low. That there was sort of slow adjustment occurring in rates over the last few years since 2017 and 2018. But the other factor that's really important is that that slow adjustment has really been eaten away at by inflation. Right. If your rates are going up gradually, then you might catch up to the right price or the actuarial price, as the insurers call it. But not if inflation is eating into those gradual increases. And so we've sort of had this combination of problems that's leading to real availability challenges, I think, in the California market.
Yeah, I personally, as a journalist, look at 2017 and 2018 as this marker because I personally covered the wildfires that happened in Wine Country and obviously the Camp Fire in 2018. And I remember since then, just like a couple years ago, talking with residents in WUI areas, high wildfire risk areas in the foothills, and they would talk to me about the increasing challenge of finding affordable wildfire policies or being dropped. Is this happening? Is this essentially a continuation along that trend?
Yeah, I think that's right. The first phase of the wildfire insurance challenge has been and continues to be challenges for people that live in high risk areas in finding available and affordable insurance. But the second phase is what's happening now, where you know this is different than that in the sense that this change affects all Californians. because State Farm writes most of their policies, or wrote most of their new policies, not in wildland urban interface areas, but in the major urban population centers of California. And what State Farm and Allstate have decided to do is just reduce their overall exposure to California writ large. And that's because of the sort of, we haven't talked about this yet, but there are these design features of the California market, in particular, how we handle people who cannot get regular, what's called admitted lines, homeowners coverage, that create exposure for the companies that are selling insurance in California, kind of no matter what they do. And so what State Farm and Allstate are doing is just reducing their overall exposure to California, because there's no way to escape the wildfire risk that's associated with that. And they can't charge at least what they consider to be a fair price for that exposure.
You mentioned Prop 103 as being a reason behind that. And so I know you're not a lawmaker, but does that need to change? Does the prop need to be updated? Because this is a statewide withdrawal as opposed to focusing on, you know, high-risk areas.
Well, I guess what I would say is that Prop 103, probably your listeners have never heard of Prop 103 unless they're like insurance nerds or something. Prop 103 was a ballot initiative that was brought before the voters at a time when auto insurance was incredibly expensive due to some issues that had to do with sort of California specific factors and litigation and some legal decisions that have been made. And it imposed a system that really controlled prices in the auto market, which is very good for consumers. We've saved a lot of money because of that. And it was fine in the homeowners market, as long as homeowners insurance kind of looks like auto insurance, in the sense that, you know, the risk of one house burning down isn't correlated with the house next door, right? The risk that I get in a car accident is not related to the risk that my neighbor gets in a car accident. They're independent. What's changed in California is now we have what the insurers will call a catastrophic peril, more like a hurricane, right? Where when a hurricane comes ashore in Houston, the chances that my house gets the roof blown off it and is destroyed is very strongly correlated to the chance that my neighbor's house suffers the same fate. And now for wildfire, we have something like that, where large numbers of houses can burn down together kind of overnight. You know, as you experienced in covering the Napa Sonoma firestorms and the campfire in Paradise. And we've had other examples of this as well in Southern California. So that kind of risk has to be managed in a different way. And in addition, you know, the risk has changed. And I think everybody who's covering, you know, you don't need to talk to people who insure. I think the most reliable people to talk to on this issue are the firefighters, where if you talk to any wildland firefighter, they will tell you that the last 5 years in California have been unlike anything in their careers. And the longer and more experienced the firefighters are, the more confident they will be about that statement, and that they're experiencing fire conditions and just really unique challenges in terms of the firefighting that they have to do, that they just never experienced in the period before. You know, they might harken back to if you're old enough and have lived around here long enough, you maybe remember the Oakland Hills fire in the 1990s, early 1990s, and the fires in Southern California that occurred in 2003. But you know, we're really in a different risk environment. And the system that was created by Prop 103 is by design not terribly flexible, because it wants to constrain rate increases to protect consumers. Now, I think there are ways to change this short of going after the ballot initiative. A ballot initiative creates a body of law that then has to be interpreted via regulation by the agency that implements it. And I think there may be opportunities for the agency, in this case, the California Department of Insurance, to reinterpret Prop 103, limited to the context of homeowners insurance, this special case where we have a climate change driving up the risk, you know, not for auto, for example, in ways that might create greater flexibility so that we can price the risk more accurately, and we can make sure that everybody in California has available coverage. Mm.
On the flip side, when you're a resident, I mean, you're talking about Prop 103, and, you know, when it comes to that, even like insurance, we don't often get a really good understanding of these things until, you know, we learn the hard, painful way, and we're usually directly impacted, right? So in the challenges of recouping property damages and losses following a disaster, when I attended a hearing in Napa a few years ago following the 2017 Wine Country wildfires, there were homeowners that were just frustrated. Some were irate that their policies didn't really cover their total losses. And obviously, the high building costs contributed to that, as well as, you know, the high number of properties that were destroyed as well. And that made it really difficult to just rebuild and to get back to financial stability. Where does that stand now?
You know, I think I may have been in that hearing as well, sitting on the dais. I remember vividly a wildfire commission hearing in Santa Rosa after the fire. I sat on the wildfire commission for the state, and it was heartbreaking. I mean, I think that the consequences of these disasters are profound for communities. Go to Chico and see the problems that Chico has today with an unsheltered population, and just realize, you know, that so much of that has to do with the fact that 20,000 units were destroyed overnight in the campfire, right? And it just, it's a profound shock to a community and to people. I think about the kids who like go to sixth grade. My kid's in sixth grade right now. He's about to finish school. And imagine going to school with your friends, and then the next day your school is wiped off the map and your friends are dispersed to the wind and your house burns down, and the trauma that that creates for families and children. So are the coverage issues that you were referring to better? I think they are. I would say that people are more aware of the limitations of homeowners coverage and the need to keep up with kind of inflation of construction costs. But I also think that people in California are struggling to afford housing. And one way that they can limit their monthly cost of housing if they own is by limiting their insurance, right? We faced a decision recently, my own family, of whether to up our coverage to keep up with reconstruction costs. And we opted to, but we're very fortunate that we can afford to do that and pay a little bit extra in our insurance cost in order to have extra coverage. I think most people, you know, there have been some efforts to create better information for people, so they're at least more aware of when their coverage is falling behind the inflation of in the construction industry. It's been profound. The cost per square foot to rebuild has gone up more than 30% since 2020. That's much higher than sort of overall inflation, even higher than food inflation, which is probably what we're most aware of in our day to day. And most people wouldn't realize that unless they're doing like a remodel or something, like trying to get some work done on their house, and they realize, oh my goodness, like it costs $1,000 a square foot in the Bay Area now to do something, and it used to cost $500 a square foot last time I tried to do this 10 years ago. And so there's that issue. And then I think you're absolutely right to point to the problems that occur after a catastrophe, like Napa, Sonoma, or what happened in Paradise, where the catastrophe itself causes a run-up in the cost of construction in the region.
And these happened from one year to the next, and we didn't even talk about the car fire in Redding, which also happened in 2018. I mean, when you're building and rebuilding homes and structures, you know, that all kind of butts up against each other.
That's absolutely right. I think it's likely that the cost and availability of insurance is leading to more properties that are going naked, right? So you have to have insurance if you have a mortgage. But say you're a senior and you paid off your mortgage. My parents have achieved that end goal. They're in their 80s and they have paid off their mortgage. They don't necessarily need to have homeowners coverage. And if homeowners coverage all of a sudden became really expensive, given that they're on fixed incomes, they might choose to go without. I think we don't have good data on that issue. CDI doesn't collect it because it doesn't have to do with insurance. It has to do with the lack of insurance. And the you know, on the underinsurance issue, I think we know that underinsurance is a problem. And as homeowners become more fiscally constrained by just the raw cost of housing, it's likely to become more of a problem. You know, I just think it would be sort of strange to think that it wouldn't without some sort of minimum requirement. And right now what we have is a requirement to provide information. Like, so the insurer provides, you know, every couple of years provides some information to its insureds about whether they're underinsured or not. But it's not a requirement to actually make sure the policies are adequate.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and we're talking with Mike O'Wara, the director of the Climate and Energy Policy Program at Stanford University, about State Farm and Allstate withdrawing from California when it comes to offering new policies for property insurers. Do you anticipate more insurers to follow suit in the footsteps of State Farm and Allstate?
Answering that question is difficult. I think we have yet to see how the California Department of Insurance and Commissioner Lara will respond. If they are able to respond decisively, I think it is possible. Like, and what I mean by that is taking a series of steps that improve the risk to price situation that's in California right now. If they're able to take a series of really decisive steps, then I think this situation might stabilize. However, you know, if we were to see, I think absent that, we're likely to see more exits of this sort. This is a halfway house. This is not the full exit. And I want to emphasize that, right? State Farm is not canceling policies from existing customers or all of its, you know, it's not pulling out of California. It's just saying we're not going to grow in California. And through attrition, we will shrink a little bit. But
what does that mean for what does it mean for existing policyholders then? Because anecdotally, I read some comments when it was, you know, posted that, you know, some people are like their rates increased unexpectedly by 15% for those with existing policies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the trajectory for existing policies in California is that the prices are going to increase gradually over time. You know, that's just unfortunately a reality. Californians might take some solace in the fact that we actually get a really good deal on our homeowners insurance right now. We have some of the cheapest homeowners insurance in the country. And so, you know, it's especially when you control for the value of what's being insured, we have very inexpensive homeowners insurance.
Why is that?
Because of Prop 103. And to be fair, Prop 103 combined with the absence of these catastrophic risks until recently. I mean, the one catastrophic risk that we have in California is earthquake, right? Someday, either in Northern or Southern California, something really terrible will happen. Some people have earthquake insurance, some people do not. But that is not included in normal homeowners insurance. If it were, normal homeowners insurance would cost twice as much. You know, I mean, we actually have earthquake coverage. I don't know if that's a good decision or not. People debate it, right? But the earthquake insurance costs as much as the homeowners coverage. If everyone did that, homeowners insurance in California would cost twice as much.
Same with flooding insurance as well, you know, because we're in the Sacramento Valley, and in many areas, you don't have to have flood insurance. And if you did, it costs a lot more to your policy.
That's right. That's right. So we, you know, the main catastrophic risks in California are kind of separated from homeowners coverage. And what's happened in the Southeast, where there's hurricane risk, wind is the catastrophic risk, because the hurricane will come along and blow the roof off a house, and then the rain comes in where the roof used to be and ruins the house. That's a catastrophe. That is something that's covered by standard homeowners policies. Fire is fundamental to standard homeowners policies. There have been some attempts to exclude wildfire, like include a kitchen fire, say, in a policy, and exclude fire that's a wildfire or a brush fire from coverage. But I think that hasn't really gone very far. CDI has pushed back very hard against that attempt. And this was right in 2017, 2018, a few companies tried this. And I think, you know, it's the limitation on what could be excluded really relates to mortgages, because bank finance, right? Like many of us, myself included, the bank really owns my house. We own a little bit of it. It grows a little bit every month, but mostly it's the bank's house, financially speaking. And so the bank demands that we have insurance to cover the risks that the bank is most concerned about. This also relates to the mortgage insurance that's issued by Fannie and Freddie, right? The federal mortgage insurance, which requires fire coverage. And so you just can't have 30-year fixed mortgages without some sort of coverage for fire for the structure. And so we need to maintain availability in order to keep everybody in their houses out of default on their mortgages. And also, and I think this is really important, ensure that we can keep growing the housing supply, right? It, particularly that, you know, there are a number of master planned communities in Southern California that are very large and are located in relatively high risk areas, but have been designed to be resistant to ignition. They have all the best, you know, construction standards, and the streets have been laid out so that fire trucks have easy access, and there's plenty of defensible space around the homes and all of this. Those homes can't be sold if there isn't available homeowners coverage. And so we really need to do things that are maybe painful in the short run in order to ensure the long run stability of the housing market in California. Mm.
In the last 30 seconds that we have, you know, I think it's important to note that this is part of something that's also happening in other states as well. California isn't alone in this. I mean, this is happening in other states in terms of being more prone to costly, destructive disasters. So what do you want people to take away from this? Because these insurers are national. They're not just focusing on California, but they have, you know, Florida, Louisiana, and Texas. You just mentioned hurricanes.
Yeah, well, and wildfire peril isn't limited to California either, right? I mean, Oregon, Washington, Colorado have huge exposure. And I guess what I'd say is my hope for California would be that we do some things to help fix the insurance market, but we also use this as an opportunity to take meaningful steps to reduce the risk. And there are things that we know how to do. They are required on new construction. They dramatically reduce the potential for houses to ignite, but we need to start implementing them on the existing houses because, frankly, we don't build that many houses in California. We have 12 million and we build about 100,000 a year. So we gotta figure out ways to reduce the chance that homes ignite in high-risk areas. And there are very simple steps. They do cost money. And we need to figure out ways to both require that the steps be taken and help people who can't afford to take those steps on their own take them.
Michael, thank you so much for the conversation.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Michael Wara is the director of the Climate and Energy Policy Program at Stanford University's Woods Institute for the Environment. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.